Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lynn, hard at work, and welcome to the Summit for Change Makers. I have my guest is Shel Horitz, and we've been around for a long time together. So I'm going to let you take over, Shel, and just do your thing. Thank you.
Well, good to be here, Mary Lynn. We have known each other quite a while now, and the world keeps changing. So
Yes.
just to let people know a little bit about who I am and the work that I do. For about the last 20 years, I've been really focused on the intersection between profitability in business and changing the world, making things better in terms of hunger, poverty, racism, catastrophic climate change, war, carbon footprint, all of these seemingly impossibly large issues. And four of my 10 books are in that exact area. Most recently, Guerrilla Marketing to Heal the World, which I did in partnership. It's one of the two books I did in partnership with the late J. Conrad Levinson, founder of the Guerrilla Marketing brand. And it's just really, really interesting the kinds of changes that are possible now that we never used to imagine we could do. And it's a very exciting time to be alive. It's also a very scary time. But I tend to focus on the exciting side because I think too many activists focus on the gloom and doom and end up scaring people into inaction. So I'd rather excite people to take action. So, for example, I will talk about things like a rather well-known skyscraper in New York City that you might have heard of, built in the early 1930s when oil was almost free. They put in a $13 million deep energy retrofit. That's the technical phrase for it. And changed up all the windows, insulated the place, all sorts of stuff like that. And this is already now about 10 years ago when oil was considerably cheaper than it is now. And lo and behold, that $13 million investment saved $3.3 million every year. And the building is the Empire State Building. So, one of the most iconic pieces of architecture in the whole country did this green retrofit and had a 3-year ROI. They paid the whole thing back in 3 years. You're not going to get that in your stock portfolio. You're not going to get that in a bank CD, certainly. So it's a really good investment to do this. And so much of low-hanging fruit is out there. A company as non-tree hugger as Walmart is not only saving gazillions of dollars by greening up their operations, but they're also making gazillions of dollars by selling green products to people who aren't ever going to go to Whole Foods. They pretty much doubled the market for organic foods by selling to the truck drivers and nurses and whatever in places that they probably don't even have a Whole Foods. And if they did, they wouldn't go to it. So these are some in the green side of things that are really exciting. But I want to look beyond sustainability. My company is called Going Beyond Sustainability to regenerativity, to actually making things better. I see sustainability as keeping things from getting worse, as staying basically in the same place. Whereas a regenerative business is going to make a real difference on some of those big issues I talked about before. So, for example, a food company might want to get involved in hunger issues. And they might be able to do some really interesting and creative things, such as seed loans to people in developing countries that have never had access to capital before, and where $50 or $100 loan can make an enormous difference. It's really interesting how far your money can go in some of those places. I have personally funded the startup of two libraries with a $50 contribution each. And that's really very small amount of money from our privileged perspective here in the West. One of my colleagues over there bought 13 books with the $50, and the other in a different country bought 17 books. And I've made a commitment to fund both of them every year with another $50. So in 10 years, they'll actually have a pretty good library. No, they'll also need a building for it, and that's not my department, but at least they'll have the books. And so if you're that food company, you can also be looking at getting out from under the treadmill of the so-called green revolution of the 1940s, which turned out not to be very green at all. I call it chemiculture, from agriculture. And it's ended up building strains of plants that are not that as nutritious and that are more susceptible to certain problems. And there are people like Vandana Shiva in India has done tremendous work on this, on looking at the flaws of that model and how to get beyond them. So, but even some of these really huge agribusiness conglomerates have discovered that not only is organic very profitable because people will actually pay more for it, but it regenerates the land, it regenerates people's health, and it's something anybody can do. Just because you've always done things with massive agricultural equipment and huge applications of chemicals doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. It takes the land usually about 3 years to recover from chemiculture. So you might want to leave it fallow for a year and then grow crops for 3 years that you can't certify as organic, but at least they're better. They're not being sprayed all the time. And it's more nutritious, it's healthier, it's more in keeping with what is supposed to be grown there, because it's typically going to be something oriented locally. And it's very exciting. And the markets are catching up. Used to be there was no market for organic cotton, and now there's a big market for organic cotton. So for clothing manufacturers, it used to be that there was very little market for organic food. I've been buying organic food since the 1970s, and it was hard to find back then. And now my supermarket has, not only does it have an organic department, but has organic products interspersed throughout all the departments. And the demand is there, you know? So hunger, I love situations that really create win-win-wins. One of my favorite companies to talk about is a company called DLIGHT. That's D period LIGHT, all lowercase. DLIGHT makes solar powered lamps and sells them at very low cost and on time payments in developing countries. So if you are in, let's just say, Rwanda, and you're a yam farmer, and somebody helps you get access to one of these lights, you've been paying $2 a month for kerosene for your kerosene lamp. And instead, now for 10 months, you'll pay $2 a month to buy this solar one. And then once that's done, you've just saved $2 a month. And if you are making $25 a month, as some of these subsistence farmers are, you've just gained almost 10% more disposable income. You are also getting a much better light than you get with kerosene. And you are providing enough light, perhaps, that after a day in the fields harvesting your yams, you might be able to do a little cottage craft industry and make a little money on the side from that. Maybe you get another $5 a month. So if you now had seven more dollars and you only had 25 before, that's huge. And of course, your kids will be able to see better as they're doing their homework. So they'll get better grades and eventually better jobs or better opportunities to start their own cottage businesses. And this $20 lamp becomes a ladder out of poverty. Plus, it's eliminating the huge and very, very damaging hazard of flame fires from the kerosene lamps. It's eliminating the toxic fumes. And it's creating jobs for the people on the ground who are selling and servicing these. So it's incredible what social change can come from a for-profit business selling a little solar lamp. I've got actually a client of mine who sells a different kind of solar lamp that fits in your pocket. It's this size. This is my phone. And again, the applications there's so many things you can do with it. You can replace kerosene or Coleman lanterns when you're camping. You can use it for emergency lighting. Heaven forbid there's an airplane crash. If the planes have some of these, it'll be a lot easier to find them as people are sending search and rescue missions out. Just tons and tons of applications. So I really think there's no reason at all why we shouldn't be looking at some of these big picture items and thinking about what kinds of products and services can we develop and how can we market them? And those are the two areas where I really come in, excuse me, and consult with people on what their business specifically. It's all, nothing's cookie cutter. It's all about what are their particular strengths and interests and capabilities, and how that could turn into something magnificent. Just as an example of the way my brain works, I was once doing an interview like this, and the host asked me and said, "This is all well and good for big corporations and whatnot," which is ironic because I'm a home-based business and I work with tiny little entrepreneur startups, but he perceived me as working with big corporations. So he said, "What would you do for a pizza shop?" I'm like, "Okay, let me think about that for a minute." And off the cuff, I came up with this really multiple win idea that the pizza shop owner could go to a local inner city high school with disadvantaged students and say, "Hey, how'd you like to learn culinary and entrepreneurial skills?" And hires a few kids to make pizzas and to sell the pizzas on Friday for delivery on Monday or Tuesday, which is typically a very slow day in the food service business. So, and so the kids learn how to make pizzas. Maybe the kids even learn how to grow tomatoes and basil. Let's figure they probably won't be learning how to make their own cheese for the pizza, but that's something that could happen down the road in a more involved version of the program. And they could certainly learn how to make tomato sauce and from the tomatoes they're growing. And then they learn the importance of good record keeping when they collect the money from, okay, this person is buying two slices of mushroom pizza and this one wants one slice of plain, and bringing those orders in and then delivering the orders on the day that they're ready as for a school lunch alternative. And so what have you done? You've given kids who had not much of a future, you've given them something to put on their resume, and you've given them some actual skills in cooking, in bookkeeping, in sales, and in horticulture. You've also provided a nutritious and much tastier and much more popular alternative to the traditional school lunch for their customers at an affordable price. It should be priced enough to make a small profit for the owner and to pay these kids something, but it doesn't have to be extravagant. You don't need to spend $8 for a slice of pizza. And so, just benefits all over the place from this one simple idea. I have learned a lot from a man named Amory Lovins, co-founder of a think tank called the Rocky Mountain Institute. And he talks about the importance of doing multiple things with one thing. In his case, he was specifically referring to the structure of his house, which is, if you're ever in that area, the Aspen, Colorado area, I hope it's still open to the public to tour. This house was built in, I think, 1984. It might have been 83. It was built in the suburbs of Aspen in a cold, cold climate where the main industry is based on it being cold, that being skiing. And up in the mountains, not great conditions. This guy is living in a house where when I saw him speak, he said, "I have a $5 electric bill for my home office." He said, "I don't have a furnace because I don't need one. It's nice and warm and cozy in my house. And just for lark, I grow bananas in there in the Colorado Rockies in a house with no furnace." I want to live in a house like that. So if we had done that, if we had started building in the mid-80s houses that use those principles, I don't think we'd have gone to war in Iraq. I thought we would have been way, way closer to meeting our carbon targets under the Paris Agreement, probably exceeding them by now. And on it goes, just huge benefits. There are also, interestingly enough, all the studies I've ever seen show that people who live or work in a green building are happier. That the air is better, they have fewer health problems, and they just feel better about being in the space. And I live in a house that was built in 1743. You can see my ceiling there, wood timbers. And that was, to put it in perspective, that was the year Thomas Jefferson was born. So this is an old house by U.S. standards. And We put on solar fairly quickly. We bought the house in 1998. We put on solar hot water in 2001, and then a very small, really inadequate solar photovoltaic system a couple of years later, 2004. We actually had to take the hot water out of service because nobody bothered to tell me that it needed to be flushed every year, and it eventually cooked itself. But by that time, the farm that we live on had developed methane digesters, processing all their cow manure and actually truckloads of food waste that get brought in here because in Massachusetts, where I live, you are no longer allowed to throw commercial quantity food waste into a landfill. So they bring it here in tractor trailers and it gets run through the digester. And not only do I and seven other homes on the farm have free heat and hot water from this, but they are powering, I think it's 300 homes and several of the farm buildings as well. And just, again, a win-win-win. And less methane is going into the atmosphere from cow burps and cow farts. And that energy is being captured and used. And I have a heat bill that's really low because the only time I'm running the heating oil system that we still have is when the other one is down. So last winter, I think, was like 12 days in the whole winter that we didn't have it. And the rest of the time, we had free heat, and we weren't burning oil, and we weren't making more fossil fuel junk in the air. So it's just amazing what you can do.
Yeah, I love your ideas about recycling, trying to find, like you said, multiple businesses out of one idea that you have, or multiple services you
There
have.
are multiple functions. Like Lovins, the guy I was talking about, he says there's one arch in his house that has 12 different functions. And also, if you're building a house that doesn't need a furnace or a cooling system because you're so well engineered, that just freed you up $5,000 to $10,000 of capital for the energy improvements. So it ends up that these houses have very tiny payback periods. They're really fast to monetize the investment. And then once that's paid off, then you're just seeing savings. So looking at the Empire State Building, if they finished that project 10 years ago, that means in year four, they were suddenly faced with the terrible prospect of having an extra $3.5 million to play with that they didn't have before. Wouldn't we all like to have that kind of terrible prospect?
Yes, absolutely. Wondering where they put that money, though, at the end.
I can't address that. I don't know. But my guess is that I know they did a second round of improvements at one point. I don't know what the numbers are on that one.
That'd be
But
great.
if the Empire State Building, built in 1931 when oil was something like 20 cents a gallon, and of course, the price, the amount they're saving now is much higher because oil at the time was like $2 a gallon, and now it's much more than that.
Absolutely. So, Shell, what else would you like everybody to know about working with you? What kind of ideas can you give them?
Yeah, well, one thing I want to do is talk about this program I'm launching. It'll run beginning in April, and it will be 5 weeks of a combination presentation from me, a mastermind from a group of between four and eight people, and some one-to-one consulting from me. It's called 5 Weeks to Set Up a Profitable Green slash Social Justice Business. And you have, I believe, the information on the page for this webinar. So people can just go there and click on it. And I'm planning to run it Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. But if there are enough people that want to run a different time slot, if they can get four people together to agree on a time slot, then I would do a second one as well. And because this is a pilot first-time project, I've been told that I should be charging $1,500 to $2,000. And this first one is going out the door at only 695.
Oh, very cool. That'd be very I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in that.
And we've only just barely touched the surface of what is possible. I could riff on green buildings, I could riff on transportation. There's just way, way more than we would ever have time to do today. But I hope I've given people a good taste of what's possible and to say that No matter what your business is, I bet that we can find a way to build in some of these kinds of wonderful social change and environmentally friendly, profitable products and services. And that I do offer a 15-minute freebie consult with anybody who asks. So that's one way of getting. And of course, the book, if you're a do-it-yourself type, the book is available at goingbeyondsustainability.com. You'll see a page for it, and it has a click-through to order from your favorite bookseller, which includes the consortium of independent booksellers that I encourage people to use. Because your local economy is something important. And
Absolutely.
that company named after my favorite rainforest is not necessarily a way of building the local economy.
Great. Thank you, Shell, so much for coming on the call today and providing some great little insights, ahas, that people can stop to think about. Okay, how can I make my business more profitable, or how can I have a win-win-win for everybody that's involved in my business?
And I should just mention one thing before we go, Mary Lynn, that every study I've looked at has shown that when you do this, you typically can raise revenues and reduce costs, which means you're raising your profits.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Shell. And your
Thank you.
information will be below the video where they can grab your ebook and a link to go and sign up for your course. So
Okay,
thank you.
great, wonderful. And again, the website is goingbeyondsustainability.com.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Shell. Thanks,
All
and have
righty.
a wonderful weekend. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.